This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, N.M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Can I ask one quick question about He-Man?
Yes,
before
please.
We start?
Yeah.
I got the impression. So here's the thing about me. Mm-hmm. I'm 5 years younger than you. I'm just on the end of the He-Man threshold.
You're a She-Ra kid.
Which means that I had He-Man toys growing up, but I don't think I've ever consciously seen an episode of He-Man.
You haven't explored the mythos.
I have not explored the mythos. Okay. I will say, though, after watching this, I am intrigued and interested in the mythos.
Mm-hmm.
But one question.
Yes.
I got the sense that when He-Man is in his nerd form,
Adam,
and when She-Ra is in her lady form,
Adora,
they were kind of being coy and talking around the fact that they both can turn into superheroes.
Yes.
Do they know that one another is He-Ra and She-Ra?
Yeah, He-Man they're fucking She-Ra? Brother and sister.
I know, but like at some point, like She-Ra's like, well, like, I don't know. I guess like maybe He-Man will come along and help us. Wink.
Yeah. No, they know.
Okay.
They know because
and does like do He-Man, their friends like mass like Helmet Man and
I'll tell you who knows.
Elephant Man and Big Hands.
I'll tell you who knows.
Yeah.
In on the He-Man side, Man at Arms knows.
Okay.
Orko, who's his best friend, knows.
He's the little elf guy.
Yeah. The sorceress knows.
Okay.
She's not in this. And there's a guy called Zodak, I think, who knows, because he's just like kind of like can see time and space. So he's not like very close.
Sure.
And then.
So a lot of people in this, in Castle Grayskull, just think that Adam and He-Man are two different dudes.
Yes. Most people, including his dad, King Randor. The mom knows.
Okay.
Because she's an Earth woman. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
She told me all about Christmas.
Queen Marlena. Yeah, so she knows about Christmas because she's from Earth. She's a NASA astronaut.
NASA, and that's how she ended up on Eternia?
Flew kind of like Major Tom scenario.
Like Fantastic Four.
Sure, and then she ends up on Eternia, and then King Randor rescues her.
Unique one.
And they fall in love, and they have Adam and Adora.
Yeah.
Twins.
So they're biracial?
That's not stated. And I would imagine since it's the 80s, nobody thought to do that. So probably not.
But technically.
Oh, I see. Yes. In the sense that they are half Earthling, half Eternians. Yes, that is true. Yes. Yes, that is accurate.
Which is like two kinds of like.
Two kinds of people.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. And is that why they can shift between being humans and being superheroes?
No, the reason they can shift is because of the Sword of Power and the Sword of Protection.
Okay. And Man of Arms can't shift. He's just
Man at Arms. That's who he is. He's the captain of the guard. He's like King Randor's captain of the guard.
An elephant head?
His name is Snout Spout. And originally, he was introduced as Hose Nose.
They couldn't clear that one by copyright.
That was like the placeholder name for the toy.
Yeah,
he's Snout Spout. There's not much to him. He can he's a cyborg firefighter who has an elephant head.
He's got an elephant head. Yeah, and he hangs out with a guy who's got one big hand.
Yes, that guy's name is Fisto.
Okay. Is that true?
Yeah.
Did you make that up?
No, his name is Fisto.
His name is Fisto?
Yes.
Like Kit Fisto?
His name is Fisto. He was originally bad. He terrorized the peasants of Eternia, and he was
back it up.
Okay.
Peasants?
Yeah.
What's King Randor up to?
It's not... I think if you were to scrutinize the... should we introduce the podcast?
Let's introduce the podcast before we get too much further in. Yeah.
Hi, and welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
It's a podcast where, as we've always said, we talk about babysitting and major instances of babysitting. We've done it for years. For a long time, we got kind of hung up on this one aspect of babysitting culture, which is represented in the Babysitter's Club series, a series of books about a series of babies by The Hand That Shakes. And then we've recently moved on to further iterations of our original concept, which was always the plan. And we've talked about babysitting in The Mandalorian and Walter World and other famous stuff like that. And Willow. And this week we're going to be talking about, I hope folks are going to stick with us. It's going to get a little dry and a little academic, I think.
Yeah, this one's dense.
But it's interesting and it's dense.
It's going to be dense.
There's going to be a lot of critical theory applied to this one, but it's the Masters of the Universe. It's the He-Man and She-Ra mythos, but specifically through the lens of one of the more famous crossover episodes, which is the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special, whereby He-Man, She-Ra, Orko, and Skeletor all conspire to babysit some kids from Earth.
And another guy.
Yep.
Well, no, they're the only ones who really do babysitting.
Yes. Yeah.
But there is another guy who's a bad guy who's like Skeletor's
Hordak
frenemy. What's his name?
Hordak. You want to know Hordak? The history between Hordak and Skeletor?
Hordak.
This will blow your mind. You ready for this?
What are you saying?
Hordak. I'm saying Hordak.
Hordak.
Ready for this? Okay. Skeletor was originally Hordak's like right-hand man.
Okay, best friends?
No, I mean they're evil, so I'm not sure that they would like qualify their like relationship in that way as friends. But okay. Skeletor was originally Hordak's right-hand man. They both together attempted to kidnap Adam and Adora.
Okay.
When they were babies. So it's an original babysitting sin, which is, again, something that's interesting to think about. The foundation of the Masters of the Universe is a babysitting sin, a failure of babysitting, where Hordak and Skeletor tried to kidnap Adam and Adora. Man-at-Arms captures them in the middle of it, and so they only succeed in capturing Adora. Then Hordak and Skeletor have a falling out. Skeletor tells Man-at-Arms where Hordak can be found, and he escapes through a portal to the other dimension of Etheria with She-Ra, with Adora, who becomes She-Ra. And so they grow up not knowing that each other exist. And also, it's so sad for the whole of the world that the sorceress casts a spell so that nobody except Man-at-Arms and a few other key figures remember that She-Ra exists until Mattel decides they need a toy for girls.
Right. Yeah. Wow, what a rich universe.
Mm-hmm.
May I tell you who my favorite character is?
I'd love that. Yep.
I had to look him up.
Okay.
I had to do some deep diving on the internet to figure out
what
this man's name is. But
and I'm Jack.
And I'm Tanner Greenring.
Yeah.
And it's going to be an academic one this week.
This one is going to be, we're just going to have to go deep. There's a lot of theory to be applied to this. We're not doing jokes, and we don't have time for jokes. I would love to do jokes, but I don't have time for jokes.
Yeah. Just some thoughtful analysis about the He-Man universe.
Yeah.
There's a character who pens, he's an Eternian.
Mm-hmm.
And he learns about Christmas.
Yes.
From two children who are warped to Eternia.
Miguel and Alicia.
Yeah. He is so inspired by the magic of Christmas that he pens a new Christmas song on his lute.
Yeah, we'll play a clip because it's fucking wild. It sucks. Yeah. His name is Bo, and he's in love with
Shea. His name is Bo, and he's my favorite team. Is that a good take?
Bo sucks. It's cool. It's like it's a very like unique perspective on the universe that you like Bo. He's like desperately in love with She-Ra, and she's like does not return his affection.
I think he's so cool looking. He's like this.
He's very handsome. He's got a mustache.
He's got a little mustache. He's like a gay icon.
Yeah, and he's got a heart emblem
on his sternum.
On his sternum.
And his one power is he shoots arrows, which I love.
Yeah, it's cool. He's like the Legolas of this universe.
Well, and I know he also he plays the lute.
He plays the lute and he writes a Christmas song and it fucking sucks.
We've got just the right setting for my new Christmas song. Let's try it.
Love and caring, peaceful bliss, joys of sharing, happiness. Christmas spirits in the air, eternity and everywhere. Don't you feel it? Feel that you're a part. Christmas season is a time of your heart.
Yeah, it sucks. I think Bo is my favorite. Who's yeah. your favorite?
Who's my favorite? From this special?
No.
Overall?
Yes.
I mean, probably Cringer.
The big cat?
Yeah.
That sucks. That's a bad answer.
Well, that's who I like.
Bad take.
I've always liked Merman. He's not in this.
Okay. I think he was very briefly in this.
I like Clawful. That's a Skeletor minion. He's not in this.
Googly eyes.
Is
there a guy called Mossman?
Yeah, there's a guy called Mossman. He's made of moss and he lives in the evergreen forest and he's in this.
Can I tell you the He-Man that I remember owning as a child?
Was it Beastman?
I had two. I had Mossman, who had this sort of like coating on him.
Mm-hmm.
This like mossy coating.
Yeah.
That rubbed off very quickly. And I had one who had a rattlesnake head that popped out of his body.
King Hiss.
I don't know if it was King Hiss.
Was it Rat-Lore?
I think we've had this discussion.
We've talked about King Hiss before. So Rat-Lore is in this movie, briefly. They put everyone in this movie. They're having a birthday party.
I think it was Rat-Lore. Yeah. Yes. Okay. It's Rat-Lore.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a snake.
It seems like
man.
there's a whole snake.
There's a race of snake people.
Thing. Yeah.
It's okay. Very phallocentric.
I still have Rat-Lore. Do you want me to go grab him?
No. I mean, okay. Yes, but no. I would like to see him, but I don't want to have to pause the podcast for you to get him.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I think we should describe the book. We're going to, for folks who don't know or care about He-Man, don't worry. We're going to do a pretty in-depth academic analysis and characterological study of this. So by the end of this episode, you will know about He-Man, and you'll be the better for it. So and She-Ra, I should say.
And She-Ra, who's girl He-Man.
Because it's a crossover. He-Man and She-Ra don't often interact, even though they're brother and sister, because they didn't know about each other for the first 19 years of their existence, and they live in a fucking, like, two worlds that are separated by a dimensional portal.
Yep.
So they don't work together that often. But when they do, it's a cause for celebration. In this one, they're on Eternia, and they're celebrating. I think I should describe the book, I think.
Is it you?
Oh, what did we do last week? Dark Tower?
Yeah.
Did you do it? I think you did it.
I did.
Yeah. So I'd be happy to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. So normally we give me the amount of seconds that is when this came out.
85.
85. Okay. So I'll take 85 seconds to describe this. It's a very dense text. Yeah.
It's layered.
It's why we're not doing a lot of banter, and as we've said, we're not doing any jokes this week.
No room.
We do not have time for that.
We're recording on a Friday night too, weirdly.
Yeah.
And I have another podcast record tonight, so like we're both looking at the clock like
it's all business. It is business today. It's all business. There's no jokes.
This one's not a fun one. Yeah. It's not a funny one.
No.
If you're here for humor, just head
now
elsewhere.
Is not the time.
Go listen to
the Jerky Boys.
The Jerky Boys. Yeah. Who are the Jerky Brothers?
I think it's the Jerky Boys' brothers, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Go listen to the Jerky Boys. you ever listen to those albums? God, I love those.
Classic. You know Radiohead? No, not Radiohead. Pablo Honey. Yeah, their first album, Pablo Honey, is named after a Jerky Boys joke.
Yeah. That's I believe it.
Interesting to think about. Okay, sorry, that's a digression. That's not even a joke. It's a digression, and it's too much for what we're doing. What we need is 85 seconds. I'm going to describe this text, and then we're going to really delve into it. I have a lot of stuff I want to say about it. And we'll try to get into the lore of He-Man and She-Ra. So at the end of this, you can consider yourselves experts.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Okay. It's Christmas on Eternia, but nobody knows that except Queen Marlena. They are doing decorations. They're having a birthday party for Prince Adam and Princess Adora, the alter egos of He-Man and She-Ra. When an accident happens aboard a spy plane that Man-at-Arms is creating to spy on
Sky Spy
Skeletor, whereby Orko accidentally ends up transporting it out of space and into an alternate universe where it crash lands on Earth. He crash lands on Earth just in time to save two children who are digging in the, trying to cut down a Christmas tree for their parents, Earthlings, and bring them into the spaceship, which is transported back to Eternia. Via a water crystal, which She-Ra gets to help facilitate the flight by battling some monsters. Then Hordak and Skeletor kidnap the children, Skeletor and Hordak are in a fight, and so Skeletor gets the kids learns the meaning of Christmas by babysitting the kids and becoming infected by the spirit of Christmas and feeling paternal feelings towards them and being nice and
beep,
good.
Beep, 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 beep.
They're so beep, dense. Beep, beep, beep. It's so dense. Beep, 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 beep. I really, really did my best. I did not even get halfway through what happens on this. There's a lot of switching between worlds. And I'll also say, I think that this it's a puzzle narrative in a way. Where the film sort of deliberately leaves a lot unexplained. It asks you to solve the puzzle of what's happening in the film through conversation, through dialogue with the film itself.
Yeah, it treats its audience with respect. It assumes that you're intelligent enough to follow some of these
arcane twists and turns.
They're not going to lay it all out for you.
No.
They're not going to spell it out for you. Sometimes you got to make those logical leaps on your own. And I don't know. I felt like I grasped it.
Where did the children come from? Why is there a robot puppy that's part of it?
Well,
they're called Man-Sheens.
Man-Sheens, yeah. Yep. And they're half man, half machine, and also one of them is a dog. And the dog becomes sort of the kid's dog, but then also becomes Skeletor's dog.
Yes, and licks his face, and it doesn't explain why he's licking his face so much, but it's because his face is made of bones, and that's fine. Because dogs like bones.
Question about Skeletor.
Yes.
Always troubled me.
Mm-hmm.
Hunky man body.
Yes.
Rippling muscles.
Yes.
Built like a Mack truck.
Mm-hmm.
Skull head.
Mm-hmm.
Is the skull head his head, or is it a mask?
That's his head. He's a demon.
So he's got a hunky man body and a skull for a head. And he wears a hood.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really, I guess they did this so that they didn't have to explain that transition.
Well, this is what I'm saying about this text, is that it's, in some ways it's a dialectic, right? Between the text itself and you, the viewer, where it is in conversation with you. And through this conversation, like the one that we're having, what is under Skeletor's hood, we come to, together, a conclusion about what it all means.
Okay.
So this is good.
Can I lay out my theory of Skeletor?
That's what they want. Yes.
Yes. There's a mode of thinking in the fantasy community where reanimated skeletons lacking any flesh or muscle should not be able to move, right?
Right, because they don't have flesh or muscle. Yeah.
So they'll either have to move via magical means, or what if everything on the skeleton is there, flesh,
but you can't see
muscle, but it's invisible.
Like a phantom limb.
Yeah. So you're seeing the skeleton and everything else is invisible. And
that's
if you were to reach out and touch Skeletor's face, you might feel a nose. You might feel a beard.
Okay.
No, but it's invisible, so all you're seeing is his green skeleton head.
But that's obviated by the scene in this. And this is, again, this is part of the dialectic, right? This is the antithesis.
Well,
by the scene in this film where the dog licks his face because it's a bone. And dogs like bones.
Well,
yeah.
The dog is not a dog.
It's a machine.
It's a robot.
So it's just going through the motions.
No, I think it's been programmed to eat man flesh.
Okay.
right? It's licking his like his fleshy chin that happens to be invisible.
And he says he doesn't like it. It's a very cute scene. Skeletor's like, get off me. I hate this. I'm drown. You're going to drown me. And then the kids are like, we'll carry the dog. And then Skeletor's like,
no.
No, it's better if I carry the dog. It's very cute.
I'll carry him.
It was nice of you to save Relay, Mr. Skeletor.
I am not nice.
Now, stop that.
Do you want me to hold him?
No, we'll go faster if I carry him.
Yeah. Everyone falls in love with this dog, even though it sucks. And it.
The dog sucks and ruins He-Man. And yeah. I think I listened to...
I didn't like any of the Mansheens.
Did you listen to the commentary on this?
I did not, unfortunately. Gosh, I wish I had.
It's a delight. It's a fucking delight because it's like a dude who's just like very funny, like British dude with this dry humor who is like torn between his obvious, and it's like on the official He-Man YouTube channel, torn between his obvious like deep and abiding love of He-Man and the Masters of Universe, and he like knows everything, and also the fact that this sucks.
And in fact, we're going to meet the Mansheens very shortly. Short being the operative word.
Do a very good job.
Hello.
Yes, here we go.
My name's Cutter. What's yours?
This is Cutter of the Mansheens, voiced by George DiCenzo, who voiced Hordak and Bo, although you wouldn't know it with this character. Cutter's come to save them. And do you know why he's called Cutter? Because he's got saw blades for hands. He's got claws that transform into saw blades. So Cutter's pretty awesome in that sense. Look at that. And not only do we meet Cutter, but we meet his cousin, as he calls him, who's called Zipper, who's equally as annoying. I mean, equally as interesting to look at.
Yeah.
And he just, like, can't...
What does the film?
He can't reconcile those two things.
The film is a...
It's a masterpiece. Yeah, and what I meant was that it's a puzzle narrative. Where
Maybe it sucks if you're not scratching the surface.
At the lowest level, it sucks. Yeah. If you watch it...
Well, and the topest surface.
Yes.
Yeah.
The topest surface.
The topest surface, it sucks.
Yes.
And the lowest level.
Right.
But in the meat, in the part, meat right of in it, between, yes.
It's very, very good and very, very powerful.
It's like a tooth.
It's like a tooth.
The film is like a tooth.
Yeah.
You've got the enamel at the top. You've got the root at the bottom. We want to steer clear of those.
Mm-hmm.
But inside, you got that sweet nerve.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I don't like to think about that.
You ever eat one of those?
I don't like to think about that. No. And that's awful.
Is a treat. A tooth nerve?
This is a bad line of discussion. And you and I have committed to no digressions, no jokes.
No jokes, no digressions. Although we do have to do one thing.
Yeah, okay.
And I guess we should just get out of the way. And we're already talking about it, so mm-hmm. We may as well do it now.
Okay. Yeah, it's where we do our burn of the week. And there's so many burns in this book.
Skeletor's really carries a lot of water.
I have. You want to know how many burns I have?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I have one. Well, I captured a lot of fun quotes, but I have one that I thought.
Okay, let's hear it.
Was good burn.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Christmas. Burns on Christmas.
Okay.
Skeletor, in speaking to Miguel and Alicia.
The children from our world.
Yeah.
Who are being babysat, and this is a babysitting novel, and that's why we're talking about it. And thank you to whoever suggested it to us from the Baby Nation Facebook group.
Oh, yeah. Was the person's name Jack Shepard?
No, it was some genius. Some
I'm going to do my best Skeletor impersonation.
Okay, perfect.
Tell me more about this Christmas.
Is that okay?
That's great, yeah.
Notes?
I fucking loved it. It's perfect.
Okay.
Tell me more about this Christmas.
And Miguel says,
well, it's a wonderful time of the year. Everyone has lots of fun.
You mean they get in fights?
No, they have fun.
Fights are fun. I like fights.
And you give each other presents.
And when you open them, they explode, right?
No, they're nice gifts.
Nice doesn't sound like much fun to me.
And the burn is on Christmas.
Yeah.
And if... You're, you know, I think it's easy to be normative.
Yeah, which this movie not to be about Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. It's easy to assume, oh, everyone celebrates Christmas. Let's just do a Christmas special, you know? But it turns out not everyone does celebrate Christmas. Right. Skeletor doesn't celebrate it, you know? And it's not fun for him, and it's not something that he likes.
No.
Because there's no exploding presents. There's no fights.
Yeah. He likes evil.
He likes evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, he does get infected with the spirit of
Christmas. And this is the War on Christmas. And the War on Christmas started with Skeletor. In 1985.
That's the War on Christmas. Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, Tucker Carlson.
Starbucks.
If you're looking,
big part practitioner.
Starbucks. If you're looking for someone to vilify, someone to throw under the bus.
Skeletor.
Skeletor. And guess what? He's going to fucking love that.
He would like it because
if he's going to eat that up.
He likes things that's bad.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Well, so there's let's talk about Christocentrism in this narrative because it's interesting. And I'm going to get to my burns. I want to do all 8 burns before we take a break.
Yeah, please.
There's this. So at the 11-minute mark, Orko is on the planet Earth, which I'm
going to
get 10.
Quick.
No, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah.
We ever seen what's going on with Orko?
Yeah, he's a trollin'.
What's happening under that?
He's a trollin'.
Like, big head.
He's a trollin'.
What's a trollin'?
They're like blue faced creatures from a different planet.
Is he ugly?
Is
that why he's hiding?
No, he's not ugly. That's just what they wear. His thing is
now I'm being disrespectful.
Yeah, they're like he's more magical on his home planet, but the circumstances of the environment of Eternia make his spells go wrong. He's like
it's like a reverse Superman.
He's a very, very powerful wizard where he comes from.
Okay.
I'm
curious what's going on under that little hood of his.
It's probably a blue troll-like face.
Why doesn't he show it?
I don't know. That's what is like the fucking costume of his society.
Okay.
And they're like pretty oppressed. So.
Okay. So I'm punching down.
I would say you're punching down. Okay. Not if you were on their planet, you wouldn't be, because they're extremely powerful wizards. They would fuck you up.
Well, they're tiny too, though, so it probably would be.
Yeah. No, yeah, literally, yeah. But you shouldn't, because they're powerful wizards.
Right.
And he's He-Man's best friend. He's one of He-Man's best friends.
I love him.
Yeah.
I love him. I think he's funny. I think he's interesting. I like his little shirt that he wears.
Yeah, originally he was called Gorko or something. Sebastian Gorka, but the animators decided that a G was too annoying to have to constantly draw, so they changed his name to Orko. That's a fun fact.
Right. I like that.
We're talking about Christocentrism and this sort of interesting... Yep. So when Orko lands on the planet that we'll call Earth, but I want to call that into question.
Okay.
These children are trying to cut down a Christmas tree.
Found Orko's face, and I see why they keep that hat on him all the time.
Okay, come on, man. Just think about this stuff.
He looks like shit.
Listen to me. He asks what Christmas is, and the kids say,
"Everybody knows what Christmas is."
Which is sort of like it's this evangelical mode that's immediately entered into early on, and it's like it's problematized. But the film, in addition to being a dialectic. In the sense that it's a conversation with the viewer, is a dialectic itself in the progression of the narrative. And so that attitude where you think that it's going to be like, we're learning about the meaning of Christmas and it's going to be this like Christocentric idea is obviated by the happenstance of the film where like the kids are explaining Christmas to Orko and just as he's like, oh, well, it's all about presents, but it starts in this way. And then they fucking fade to black. When they fade back and Orko's like, oh, now I understand Christmas. And they're like, wait, let me finish the story. And the story ends with the wise men arriving at Bethlehem.
And the three wise men followed the star until they finally reached Bethlehem.
Ah, what a beautiful story.
Right.
You know what's absent from this narrative? This Christmas narrative?
Christ.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Is not in it.
Yeah.
It's not in it.
But then they say, like, that's not even the most important
and
part.
Present,
right?
Right. It's this cow. It's a celebration of capitalism.
Wow. Yeah.
And fucking riddle me this:
Do you celebrate Christmas differently?
Riddle me this:
Tanner. You guys are like going to...
Don't put this like on Latin me. Mass. We're engaging with the text. Guess who? What this fucking narrative opens with. They are preparing for the birthday of Adam and Adora.
It's a happy time for us, dear Marlena.
Oh, just think. This will be the first time the twins are together to celebrate their birthday with all our family. Adora's friends even came from far off Etheria, and they're all helping to decorate.
Yeah.
Their birthday's on Christmas.
Okay.
So what does that open up as a possibility? Right? This hole that is created by the absence of a Christ figure is filled by He-Man and She-Ra themselves.
That's what the filmmakers want us. And again, like, they're not laying this out for us. They're not going to serve
No, they're
this
not
going to
say
platter.
It. Yeah.
This is things that we have to build ourselves and infer from the text that they've given us.
Yeah.
He-Man is Christ. She-Ra is girl Christ.
Yeah.
The Kingdom of Heaven is Castle Grayskull. Castle Grayskull's always confused me.
It's confusing. I don't want to get into it right now.
Seems bad.
Yeah. Let me...
It looks mean, and it seems bad, and it's got a naughty name.
Let me plus your idea before we get into Castle Grayskull.
Okay. Good luck. Can't plus a plus.
I think the film... In this dialectical progression that we've talked about, is also asking us to question that, right? It's not something so simplistic as saying, like, oh, He-Man and She-Ra are replacements for a Christ figure in our world. It goes a step further. After they destroy the robot, the monstroids.
So there's also big robots called monstroids who are like man.
They're kind of like Transformers.
Machines, except they're just Transformers.
Yeah. So He-Man and She-Ra have a big battle with the monstroids, and they destroy them. And the Mansheens, who are these like bad fucking – I mean, they're good in the context, but they're –
They're like little tiny humans.
They're awful.
They suck. They look suck. Bad. They're like annoying. Yeah. They're like – they never shut up.
They should not have existed. But they say to He-Man and She-Ra after their victory, they say the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And they're talking about the monstroids, but who they're talking to are the two most powerful people.
But they're not big.
In this universe.
Literally. I think they mean literally.
Okay, Mr. fucking literal. They're questioning the power, this power.
Right.
It's a sly way of questioning.
It feels
like, hey, you're the two biggest people in our world.
Not even. If I were He-Man and I heard that, what I would assume is you are... Planning you, Mansheens, what I'm hearing is that you're planning on regicide. You're planning on taking out my father, King
Randor. Yeah.
Randor.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not cotton to that, and then I take out my power sword and I chop their ugly little robot bodies in half.
And nobody would miss them?
Nobody would miss them.
No.
Yeah.
I hope folks are paying attention to this one. Normally we try to do some jokes.
Not this time.
And it's not going to happen today. Yeah. But I think this is going to be an education.
There's no room.
With Carey
Jack
Mulligan.
Already said he's going to do all eight of his burns before break, and break is in like a minute.
I'll do my burns. I'm gonna bust through them.
There's no room for this shit.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to do my burns. You ready?
Can I tell you Jamie's favorite character?
Quickly.
It was in the same scene with Bo.
What's wrong with having Cringer? Cringer fucking rules. He turns into Battle Cat. He's a tiger who turns into Battle Cat. He's a coward.
You're a basic B.
No.
It's like saying He-Man's my favorite character.
No, it's not like that. It's specifically not like that.
Also, like, Battle Cat. If you're going to do one, do Battle Cat. Cringer sucks. His whole thing is like he's like a sniveling little, like, scaredy cat.
Say who Jamie's favorite
There's
Cringer.
A guy.
Yeah.
He's like a little owl.
Oh yes, his
and
name
his
is Cal.
Ears are like butterfly wings.
He's a hybrid owl butterfly creature. His name is Cal. He's She-Ra's friend.
Yeah, Jamie liked him.
He kind of sucks. He's like,
okay.
This
is coming from a guy who said his favorite character is Cringer. So
he actually, you know what? I'm gonna take it back because he's the Cringer of Etheria. and he
Does he turn into like a boss?
No,
boss?
He doesn't. But he's like Cringer. He doesn't have like a beast mode. He's just like he's kind of a cowardly creature. who okay. doesn't have many redeeming qualities, much like Cringer.
Did you make your wife watch this?
No, but my child did. Do you want to hear what my child said about it?
Well, he must have recognized Skeletor, right?
Yeah. He was like fucking, his mind was blown when Skeletor showed up. So I was watching it in the other room while he was like playing with his cars. And like, yeah. So I watched 10 minutes of it and then he like eventually heard it and like wandered into the room while I was sitting there like studiously taking notes while I was watching it. He walked into the
You like had your Bible out.
Yeah.
You had your like
yeah,
DCM.
Exactly. he walks in and like sees what that I'm watching like a fucking kid's cartoon and he looks at me and he just goes, "What?"
Yeah.
What?
Such a betrayal.
What? And then he sits down and it's at the moment when the beast monster shows up and he was like, "It's a beast monster." Like yeah. immediately totally invested. He cared about the beast monsters. He cared about the robot people. And then he got like super into Skeletor saying that he's not nice.
"Oh, thank you, Mr. Skeletor. You saved us. You really are wonderful."
"Listen, I am not nice. I am not kind. And I am not wonderful."
He grabbed like our little Skeletor toy. He fucking loved it. He was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And didn't ask me, "Why are you watching this like kids cartoon from the 80s?
He knows that Papa has interests, you know?
Okay, I gotta say my burns because we're like way past time for a break.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? At the five.
Should we just come back and do the burns? Why?
No,
we,
I'm doing them now. And we'll get to the burns because we've got a lot more stuff we need to do. Ready?
Okay.
Just let me get through it.
Okay.
At the 5 minute and 17 second mark, He-Man is fighting with a claw ship and he says,
"You know what? These claws need a manicure."
And then he destroys the ship. Okay,
that's okay.
One. We don't have time to comment on it.
You won't react.
You can react, but just like kind of keep it.
Okay, that quick, one sucked.
Quick and lively. At the 28 minute and 44 second mark, He-Man is fighting with the big robots. The what are they called? The machine droids or whatever.
Yep.
He says,
"Keep your claws to yourself. Sorry to get you all tied up."
Because he ties their claws together.
Right. Yeah, they do a lot of Star Wars shit with these big machines. Do I need this lot of He-Man toys for Miles?
I would think so.
$12.50 for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys.
Yeah.
That's a deal, right?
That's a deal. You should get it. Listen to this. Okay. At the 33 minute and 15 second mark, Skeletor says, I think to the kids of Christmas,
"A season of love, caring, joy. Yeah, what a disgusting idea."
And that is a burn on Christmas.
That's a burn on Christmas. And yeah. They do a lot of good burns on Christmas. Take note, Bill O'Reilly.
At the 36 minute and 58 second mark, He-Man says to Skeletor of the children,
"Let him go, bone face."
Okay.
And that's rude because he has a skull face.
Well, or is it, you know, invisible flesh? It's, okay.
At the 37 minute mark, Skeletor and Hordak, who are fighting even though they're both evil, Skeletor shoots a weapon at Hordak. Hordak opens his big shield. The bullet ricochets off of the shield.
Hordak sucks, by the way.
Skeletor sucks, yes.
Pales in comparison to Skeletor.
Hits Skeletor and knocks him out, and Hordak says,
"Good aim, you hit yourself."
Okay.
And that's a burn. Why are you hitting yourself? At the 41 minute and 48 second mark, the following thing happens, and it's another burn on Christmas, and it's one of the most iconic lines from this film. It's iconic.
Okay.
The kids are like, "Oh, thanks for being good. You saved us." Because he like gives them jackets and shit. Because he like is just like
he magics up some jackets.
He becomes
they're fashionable.
Yeah, and they look great. They're like those puffy jackets that were popular for a spell.
Yeah. Hype beast.
He says,
"I don't like to feel good. I like to feel evil."
And then they kind of explain that it's because of Christmas.
Yeah.
And
that's always challenging with characters like Skeletor, like Oscar the Grouch, where it's like everything bad is good.
And yeah, it's
like,
no, well, it's difficult.
What does good mean then? Like, does bad feel good to you? Does bad feel bad? And then is bad good? It's just so.
It's like, very difficult.
It sends me into like an existential spiral.
But fortunately for you and for this discussion, She-Ra says to Skeletor,
"Don't worry, Skeletor. Christmas only comes once a year."
And Skeletor says,
"Thank goodness."
And it's another burn on Christmas.
Yeah. Take note.
And then my final burn is the most famous burn from this film. And it is at the 17 minute and 30 second mark.
Okay.
Who is SW, do you think?
Star Wars.
Swiftwind.
What?
Swiftwind is She-Ra's horse.
Oh, okay.
Swiftwind.
She-Ra's got a cool horse. It's like Pegasus.
Yeah. Swiftwind, She-Ra's horse, after they've defeated the big robots, this is a famous line from this. He says,
"They're changing into other forms. What evil robots?"
Okay.
And it's a burn on the Transformers.
Yes. Right.
We have to take a break.
Well, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
We're out. We're out of here.
We're taking a break. We'll be back.
Yep.
Shortly.
Okay.
Goodbye. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jack.
Yes.
Forgot to introduce a segment at the top of the episode when I was asking about Snout Spout and Big Hand.
Right.
Fisto. Get Fisto.
Fisto, yeah.
You're the He-Man expert. I really want to call it Pokemon.
It's nothing like it. Yeah.
It's exactly like it.
Okay.
Collectible characters.
Yeah.
Cartoon designed to sell toys. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yep. No, you're right.
Can I introduce a segment now retroactively?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Well, He-Man consider facts with...
Sorry, I stepped on it. But fuck. God. I stepped on the whole... Should we cancel the show?
Say what you're going to say.
Should we cancel the show?
Say what you're going to say.
I was just going to say that, like, from a legal perspective, I would, at this point, I would ask the court reporter to consider what you're about to say having been said.
Having been said, yes.
At the beginning
people
of the
jury.
Episode. Yeah. No, just the court reporter.
Just the court reporter.
And as this movie teaches us.
Stenographer?
What you witness doesn't matter, but what the stenographer takes down is what matters.
Because it's all just going to be used for precedent in later cases.
Right, you know? Exactly. Yeah. So okay, now let's just take another run
called,
at it. Okay.
Do you want me to say it or not?
I want you to take a run at it, and I want to give you a clean edit for it.
Okay, ready?
So, okay, let me lead you in.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, it's the beginning of the episode, and Tanner's going to kick us off and get us in the right spirit with a great new segment that I think is going to become one of the iconic segments of the BSCC podcast. Tanner, I'd love for you to take it away. What's the segment called?
Thanks, Jack. As you know, I'm a He-Man novice, and you are a He-Man journeyman, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yep.
And I'm going to have to rely on you a lot this episode to give me the hottest He-Man facts.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to create a new segment that will be hyper-relevant to this episode, but also I think have a lasting legacy across all of our podcasts, rippling both forward and backwards through time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that has had a lot of influence on our show so far as well. It's called He-Man Facts with Wee Man Jax.
Okay. I'm going to say I like the first part of it.
He-Man facts is the first part. And that's sort of the core of it.
Compared with He-Man himself, compared with He-Man himself, I am a wee man.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay.
And me.
Yeah, we all are.
And, you know, a lot of average adult men.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me again what your height is.
5'8" and 3/4".
Okay. So you're probably right on the line then.
I'm exactly average height for a man.
So you're saying that about roughly half the population is taller than you.
That's not what I'm saying. Listen, compared with Prince Adam, and we know it from the He-Man movie.
Haven't seen it.
You haven't seen the live-action He-Man movie?
No, and this is exactly what the segment is for. And
okay,
regale us, Wee Man Jack. Tell me about the He-Man movie.
I'll briefly tell you. Skeletor opens a portal to Earth.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a big deal. The Man of War did that this Christmas special.
I don't think you're appreciating how weird it was that
you
that
just
happened.
Need a water crystal. Mermister will help you get one from the.
She had to fight. Okay, I'm sorry because I got a little heated. To get that crystal, She-Ra had to fucking teleport to fucking Etheria.
Is that different from Eternia?
Fight the Beast Monster, which is the most lazily named monster in the history of cartoons.
There was another one in this Christmas special that was all. It was like the Winter Monster.
Yeah,
it's like you guys aren't even trying.
And then she had to do another trial. She had to fight the monstroids.
And she did have to fight the monstroids. Yeah, and then she also had to.
And then she gets and this French mermaid helps her find a crystal, and that's how
Mister, and you know what, that's a segment.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's called Strike for the Patriarchy.
Okay. It's our less popular segment related to the patriarchy on this program.
The French mermaid's name is Mermister.
Okay.
The Beast Monster is no legend, She-Ra. It exists and is very dangerous.
But if we work together.
Good idea. I'll find the water crystal for you.
Thanks, Mermister.
And it's like, why are you called Mermister in a show where everyone is named so gratuitously after their
after
gender?
Mans? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you Mermister?
She-Ra, He-Man. Why are you Mermister?
Well, let me ask you this about Mermister. At the beginning Mer-Man. of the program, Mer-Man would be so good.
Or Mer-Madam.
Mer-Madam. At the beginning of the show,
people might think she's like a madame. Like she's got like a mermaid brothel.
Every character in the show is at the party for Adam and Adora. That's happening on Eternia.
Because it's their birthday.
Except Mermister.
Yeah, Mermaid. Well, she lives in Etheria, right?
Yeah.
And that's different from Eternia?
She lives in Etheria, but a lot of the Etherians are there at the party.
Oh, man, am I glad we have this segment.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Is there anything specific you want to ask me for this segment? Because I do want to get into some academic analysis of this.
Specifically, what I have written here is, who's this guy with the elephant head? Who's this guy with one big metal fist?
Snout's about Fisto.
Yeah, and we've covered
covered
those.
Yeah.
Why can Chira's horse talk?
I mean, like, on this planet, a lot of the animals can talk. Cringer can talk. I mean, that fucking koala owl that your wife likes, he can talk. It's just like a lot of the animals can talk.
One and last question, and then I'll turn it back over to you.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the episode, She-Ra is talking to... Not She-Ra. What's she called when she's not She-Ra?
Adora. Princess
Adora. Adora is talking to Adam.
Princess of Power.
And she says, good luck, brother.
Yeah.
And she says it like that in sort of a way that was a little too sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, young lady.
Merry Christmas, brother.
Oh, you know. You knew it was me all the time, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
What's the story there?
There's a lot of Jaime, Cersei, Lannister energy between them. It's never
You know explored. What it reminded me? Remember, you know that one Folgers commercial that they play every
Christmas? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where
the brother comes back
brother
from
comes
war.
Home from like...
He's like, a sister, I missed you so much.
I must have the wrong house.
Sister?
Oh, I missed you so much.
They waited up all night for you, you know.
It's a long way from West Africa. Oh, real coffee.
He's here.
I brought you something from far away.
Really? Oh.
What are you doing?
You're my present this year.
That's what it was like. There was a sexiness. There's a huskiness in her voice.
Well, look, they didn't grow up together. What's going on. They didn't meet until they were 20.
Wow. And then like she was doing laundry and she got stuck in the laundry machine and like he walked by and he was like, oh, and then they, you know.
Is that the Folger? Does that happen in the Folgers?
That happened in the Folgers commercial. Yep.
It's a classic. Yeah, there's a lot of Lannister energy between them. We don't have time to get into it today. But you know what? Maybe
can Cringer talk?
Excuse me?
Can Cringer talk?
Yeah, Cringer can talk. Yeah, he's mostly scared. Battle Cat's not scared.
Yeah.
For people who don't know this text, and it doesn't come up in this film, so you wouldn't know it. You see him briefly at the party at the beginning. He-Man rides a green tiger called Battle Cat, but when He-Man is his alter ego, Adam, Battle Cat is his alter ego, Cringer. And the reason for this is that when they were developing the He-Man toys, they needed something for He-Man to ride on, but they didn't want to develop a horse, and so they found this like fucking tiger from like a zoo creatures thing that they also owned, and they just like painted it green and made that his steed. That's interesting.
You know who's got a cool horse?
Who?
Bo.
Yeah.
Something to keep in mind.
I'm not a big fan of Bo. Listen, I want to talk about duality and identity in the He-Man universe, in the Masters of the Universe.
You want to talk about duality and identity. Let me tell you about Bo.
Okay.
And his reproduction action figure that was produced in 2012.
Okay.
For the Masters of the Universe Classics line.
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
I'm sending you an image.
Okay.
Look at this, Jack. You want to talk about duality. You want to talk about identity.
Mm-hmm.
Look what the recent reproduction Bo action figure comes with.
You're texting it to me?
Yeah, I texted it to you.
Okay, well, it's going to take a fucking minute.
What? The infrastructure in Texas is still suffering?
Oh, shit. Wait, he comes with a head of himself?
Comes with two heads.
Why?
One, but-tiered. And one mustachioed.
Okay, it's got a mustache head and a tiara head. That's interesting.
And that's duality, and that's identity. Yeah.
Great, that's fine.
And you also has one bow. He can either hold a bow, fine.
Yeah.
Or he can hold a little harp.
That's right. It's art or violence.
Wow.
Yes, thank you. No, this is working with what I want to talk about, right? Perfect. We talked about He-Man. We talked about He-Man and Adam. We talked about Cringer and Battle Cat.
I did bid on that, by the way.
You're buying the toy for your child.
We'll share it.
Okay. Then on the evil side, we have Too Bad, right? Too Bad is in this, and he wears his dueling identities openly.
What's that? Who's that? He's the guy with two heads.
He's the guy with two heads, right? Yes. He has a, and his, like, the battle that's happening for him is out in the open.
Yeah, there are several scenes with two, his name is Too Bad.
Too Bad, yeah.
That's very 1985.
Yeah.
He is constantly getting in fights with himself.
Right.
Yeah, I've almost got it.
You've almost got it. I've almost got it.
He's always arguing with his other head.
He's always arguing with himself, and that's categorized, that's the, like, in the taxonomy of this universe, that's categorized as being evil, where it's like, oh, if you have your, like, the dueling battle between your id and your superego, like, if that's happening out in the open, that's somehow bad.
Let me ask you a question.
The good way to do it is to be fucking Cringer and Battle Cat, or Adam and He-Man, and like, or like She-Ra and Adora, and keep it inside yourself, and like only you know about this fucking like battle that you're having with your other self.
Right. Right.
That's like, I don't know. Is it bad? And then think about it this way. Like the whole film is about Skeletor is struggling with this duality that's just inside himself. He doesn't turn into anyone. It's like completely internalized. He's evil, but he is, because he's infested with the spirit of Christmas.
Right.
He wants to save these children and do good babysitting with the children and do good babysitting with the dog.
It's a Grinchian story.
And he says that it's with the famous line of the film, I am not good.
Listen,
I'm not,
I am not nice. I am nice, not kind, I am not wonderful. And I am not wonderful.
And he's saying it in a moment when he has been both good, nice, and wonderful. Like that clash of our impulses, that's what this text is about. This is what this book is about.
It's like a what a wonderful world. You have to see what the world is like when you're your unself.
Right.
To understand how precious yourself is.
Right.
He has to see, Skeletor has to see a kind and benevolent and filled with Christmas spirit Skeletor to understand that, no, Skeletor is evil.
Right.
Truly evil. Can we hop back to Too Bad real quick?
Could I just make one point that it just occurred to me before we hop back to Too Bad? This is the dialectic, right? This is, so like we've talked about the thesis and the antithesis, right? The thesis is
recently?
Yeah, we were talking about dialectic earlier in this. We were talking about Hegel. Obliquely.
Yeah.
The thesis is Skeletor's bad, right? And then the antithesis is where he realizes he's good. Where he's like, oh, fuck, I have to babysit these kids. And they're like, you're good, you're kind.
We like you.
You're kind, you're nice, you're wonderful.
Right.
And then the synthesis occurs because his badness is put in contrast with these good impulses, and that's what gives it meaning. Like, badness in abstract is nothing, but to be evil means to choose evil in opposition to good. That's what gives it real meaning. That's what gives it teeth. If you're just evil in the abstract, that's like, you're like a force of nature. You're a hurricane. But if you're evil when you see good and you still choose to be evil, and that's the synthesis of Skeletor, is that he is chosen evil.
But it's so much more complicated than that, because I think he performs evil.
Right.
I don't think he's choosing evil. I think it's potentially impossible for any moral being
to choose evil.
To consistently choose evil.
And the cycle begins again. And that's where Hegel always gets you, right? Because he would say, okay, now we're back at the thesis. That's your thesis. And then what's the antithesis for that?
Too Bad.
Too Bad.
Let's talk about Too Bad for a second.
Yeah.
Two heads.
Yeah. He's got
one
two
purple,
heads.
One blue. Jack, if you were to address Too Bad, if he were in the room with you.
Yeah.
And you were to address him.
Yeah.
Which head would you talk to?
I feel like
I sent you a photo in case somehow helps.
I guess I'd talk to the blue head.
Okay, and that's, I feel like that's loaded.
Yeah.
That feels loaded to me because the blue head is the most traditionally human. Norm.
Yeah, the purple head is like toothier and angrier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That feels loaded to me, and that actually says a lot about
the
you.
The blue side of Too Bad has a shield, and the purple side of Too Bad has a mace.
Yeah.
Do you want to know a little bit about the history?
My answer is?
Yeah, please.
I would never address them because they're evil.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Shit, it was a trick question.
I would never even have that opportunity. Why would I ever be talking to Too Bad? They're evil.
You wouldn't. You would be calling the cops.
Oh, yeah. I would be calling the cops.
Excuse me, sir. I'm not going to address either of your heads.
Yeah. I'm going to be calling the non-emergency line.
Wow.
Yes, hello? Yes. No, I'm here with some... They're threatening, to say the least.
You're like you're the Karen of the fucking Eternia universe.
They are, and I don't even know how to refer to them.
Yeah.
They're
menacing me.
They're menacing. Yeah. They're threatening me. Yeah.
Wow. Do you want to know the history of Too Bad?
Yeah, please.
It's pretty interesting. Too Bad was originally conceived as being one head was good and one head was evil.
Interesting.
But the...
talk about duality.
Once they started making the
toys...
Wait,
they each have names?
I'm telling you something.
Tuvar and Badra.
I'm telling you something.
Okay. That fucks me up, though, that they both have... independent identity.
They're independent. This movie is about duality. It's about the fight that we have within ourselves to see like it's such a naive view that like you have this like singular self. And that's what they're trying to tell us with Masters of the Universe and specifically the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special.
Fucks me up. This film, we've consumed so much media.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this one has got me the most twisted up.
They were originally bad and good, but the decision about the toy line was that you could only sell an evil character or a good character, right? This is the dialectic again. Mattel decided that we have to push it back into this like fucking one-sided like Manichaean view of like how the world works, where it's like either you're evil or you're good. And so they decided that Too Bad was like both heads were evil, which is like, I mean, it's like, I don't even know how to talk about it because there's so much more to all of us than that.
I think one of them is a primal evil.
Right.
And one of them is a
like situational
Machiavellian, like intelligent evil, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say which is which.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's probably for the best. Right. Do we have time to talk about the surveillance state and the sky spy?
Sky spy with my little eye.
The film begins with Man-at-Arms is building a sky spy, which is like they're like this spaceship will be able to spy on Skeletor at all times, and it's a movie that's about the surveillance state.
Well, because Skeletor lives on an asteroid.
No, he lives in Snake Mountain.
Okay, he lives in Snake Mountain. His boss lives on an asteroid.
No. Jesus
Christ.
Well,
I don't know what this guy is. There's a guy who's like made out of smoke, but he's also got a robot hand, and he's big, and he lives on an asteroid.
Yeah, I already told you who he is.
What is his name?
His name is Horde Prime.
And he's in charge of the like, machine droids, too? I don't know. I couldn't quite wrap my head around Horde Prime.
This
he was like a being of pure evil.
This is He-Man Facts with Wee-Man Jack. And I'll just say
perfect.
I'll say it to you quickly.
Man Jax. Tell me.
Here's the deal. There's a
did you know that there's a new She-Ra?
Yes.
It's supposed to be very good.
Oh, really? I'll watch it. Can
People
I say
like it?
I don't know about that stuff. What I'm saying is from the old times. There's a dimension called the Horde World.
Okay.
It's where Hordak and Horde Prime come from. Some think they're maybe brothers. Hordak is
Horde Prime is like a million feet tall.
Because he transcended. Like a little guy. He transcended, and he's like a smoke now, and you can't see him. He's like the claw in Inspector Gadget.
One robot hand.
Yeah, you can't. But you can't see who he is. He's the boss of Hordak. Okay. For the purposes,
I thought you said they were brothers.
Yeah, they're maybe their fucking relationship is that they're brothers.
Tricky.
But their professional relationship is that he's the boss. Okay. But like, Hordak is the. How do I explain this to someone who's just like a total casual?
Yeah, listen, you're like a fifth dimensional being, and I'm like a three dimensional being.
That's good.
I'm just trying to.
Yeah, that's like what Hordak, what Horde Prime is like in relation to Hordak. Horde Prime sees like the entire multiverse.
Why is it living on an asteroid then?
That's what it looks like to you. Jesus. That's like how you're able to conceive of it. Horde Prime is like looking over the...
Bless you.
Interest.
Miles has started saying... This is dad talk.
Perfect.
Miles has started saying, bless you. So if you cough or sneeze or even move your chair the wrong way, from anywhere in the house, you'll hear a little tiny voice go, bless you.
You know how I feel about that, right?
And if you say, thank you, he'll go, welcome.
What a winner.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about that.
How?
Don't tell me about my body.
Mm. Yeah, and he overdoes it because he does it for any sort of like bodily noise.
Like, we've talked about this before, but it's like a real... It's like, I don't mind. By all means... Say bless you to me if that's what you fucking need to do to
just
like get on with your life. But if you expect me to thank you for something that you did in unasked response to something that inadvertently happened to my body.
You're breaking the social contract.
I will not.
You are forcing me into a interaction that I'm not prepared to. Yeah. Sometimes he'll get too excited and he'll say, bless you. Thank you. Welcome.
I gotta say, it's hard for me. Like, this is something that I feel very strongly about, but it's hard for me to say it in relation to what seems like a fairly cute thing that Miles is doing.
I'll tell him.
Cyril doesn't say that shit.
If next time he says bless you, I'll be like, don't expect a fucking...
Yeah, don't expect a thank you. Not from Jack.
He's also started to pick up on swears.
Okay.
So we have to start being careful with that.
I'm still not... I think you can go. This is something I'm going to test out, and we'll talk about it on the podcast later if it goes well or badly. My current view, as someone who swears a lot and who isn't interested in giving it up, and also as someone who has possibly an equally controversial view that's probably comes from the same place as my view about bless you.
Yeah.
Which is like, why do we fetishize like these like fucking phonemes?
Yeah.
And they're like, it's bad to say like this word.
I'm so excited for you to finish this thought because I have the strongest counterpoint.
Okay. Well, here's my view. That's like a very concise statement of a complicated view that leads to my next point, which is I think as long as I act like it's not a big deal at all, we're okay. The uncanny valley is if I'm going around effing and blinding, as we say in my country.
America.
And then every time I do it, I like fetishize it. And I'm like, oh no, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that. It's bad to say it. That's what's going to catch his interest and have him saying it.
Oh, yeah. It's like when Miles bites us. He's in a bitey mood.
Yeah.
And we go, ow! It just makes him want
to
bite.
No, more. Exactly.
And you
the
just
way,
need to not react.
The way to deal with it, and like, I'm going to be beaten in this endeavor by everybody else in the world who's going to make a big deal out of swear words.
Right.
But because I think swear words are not a big deal, when I say fuck, I'd say it as a normal word and Cyril like doesn't fucking turn around or think about it or like feel like he needs to say it all the time or that it's interesting to say it.
Two things.
Yeah.
By extension, you've taken all the power away from swear words, thus rendering them ineffective to begin
That's
with.
That's fine.
So you may
That's
as well
fine.
Just say whatever.
Fine. I don't give a shit. That's great.
Two, every Thanksgiving we have Thanksgiving dinner at Jamie's parents' house.
Yeah.
Jamie's parents have friends who have adult children who are our age.
Yeah.
One of those adult children has two kids who are probably like 5 and 10.
Yeah.
And this adult man is sort of a hippie, for lack of a better term. He like lives in a yurt and like
that's fine.
Doesn't play by society's rules.
Good. That sounds good.
And lets his kids swear. He has two sons.
Yeah.
And he lets them do a lot of things. Like the older son wears a lot of girls' clothes mm-hmm. and grows his hair out long.
Yeah.
And like takes a lot of pride in that.
Yeah.
Both kids swear like fucking sailors. And I didn't think I cared about swearing, and I thought I was part of your worldview until
it's like The Exorcist.
Heard like a 9-year-old boy say, like
yeah,
while
okay.
playing a video game, and it was like, oh,
you shouldn't do that.
It's actually bad.
Okay, yeah,
kids shouldn't swear because it sucks.
I like that viewpoint.
Once you hear a 9-year-old say like, yeah. it's like, oh, that,
yeah,
it's not good.
Yeah, I can dig that. I like, not to get too profound, and we did say, well, no, this isn't jokes. This is the opposite of jokes.
It's a joke. Yeah, it's not jokes.
I think my response to that is that as someone who loves to swear,
yeah,
I actually only like a limited version of swear.
Yeah, I've never heard you say suck my fucking cock. You will say fuck a duck.
Yeah, which is like, I like funny swearing or swearing for emphasis.
Irreverent.
Or irreverent swearing, but swearing that is like attached to like insulting someone or really is specifically invoking a sex act, especially in an aggressive manner.
Yeah.
That I can see why that's bad.
But you see why it's a slippery slope.
But that's a nuance. No, that's an interesting nuance. And this is like way more interesting and nuanced of a conversation as I would want to have on this podcast ever.
It's but a slippery slope.
I've learned something from this. But yeah. I'm going to keep this in, but I don't like to have this cut. It's like very informative, and I learned something, and you learned something, and we've like expanded the definition of the topic that like expanded the topic that we were talking about.
Right.
But I don't like we have happened into this, and we're in this, but I don't want to be having this conversation because it's not. I mean, I like it, but not as something that's recorded for people to listen to.
Yeah, we have He-Man. This is something we can talk about in our free time.
Listen, should we talk about Snake Mountain and the phallic?
Was Snake Mountain featured in this film?
The answer
is no. So no, we shall.
Okay, fine. Should we leave?
I don't care. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have to because I have another podcast recording.
Yeah, we gotta go. Tanner's has another podcast. It's called Experience Share. It's a Pokemon podcast. He's gonna record it later tonight because he's talking to someone in China.
China,
a guest. You must listen to his show. You can go to expshare.pod.
expshare.pod.com or follow us on Twitter or Instagram at expshare.
You must listen to his show, and
we are interviewing. We're having a conversation. Stimulating conversation with Dr. Lava, the Pokemon influencer tonight.
Here's what I'll say. All the He-Man
who lives in China.
All the He-Man heads for whom this was either your favorite episode or your least favorite episode, because you're like, I can't believe Jack got Snout Spout's origin story wrong.
Right.
You're gonna love Experience.
You'll either love Experience Share if this was your favorite episode, or you're going to hate it if it was your least favorite.
But it's Babysitting Book, and we read a Babysitting Book this week, and it's the She-Ra and He-Man Christmas special, and we read it this week, and we loved it, and it's good, and thank you to whoever suggested it, and you can watch it. It's only 40 minutes,
It's only $2.99. Yeah. I did buy it, and
oh, really?
It is now
I watched
a
it on YouTube.
Part of my collection.
I watched it on YouTube, and then they did a fucking commentary that I just watched it again with commentary, and it was fucking great. I highly recommend that. What I would like to say is thank you to you, Tanner, and a very special thank you to you,
hey, you're welcome.
Tanner, for bearing with me this week. I would like to thank the Baby Nation for bearing with us as well, and whether you're a fan of He-Man and She-Ra or not, I hope you learned something, and I'm sorry we didn't do jokes. Normally, we had a lot of them prepared.
Yeah, we've prepared,
didn't
as always, have our like tight 20.
Time.
Right.
We didn't have time for jokes. Please do remember to subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. We have a whole show that's about the Little Sister books, and it's the only thing that keeps us alive, and it's only $5 a month for you. But for us, it is everything, and it's good, and it's nice to listen to it because it's fun, and we sing the descriptions.
Yeah.
And you'd like it. You'll like it. Once the pandemic is over and everyone's commuting again and everyone's caught up with our podcast – and you're like, want more of us?
More.
That's Parker. A good place to go.
Yeah, the Patreon.
Please do buy our merch, bit.ly.
Or Spreadshirt. If yeah. you like the Tanner aspect of the show,
and yeah.
Warm to cool on the Tanner aspect.
Yeah.
Check out Spreadshirt.
What's the Venn diagram of me and Josh? Does Josh.
Almost polar opposites.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know. It's so tricky because
so
like,
Josh does not provide Jack energy on Experience Share.
He does sometimes. He's knowledgeable. He's the straight man, you know.
But I'm not the straight man. Fuck you.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Right, you're just like my wife. She's always insisting that she's not even insisting that she's the funny one.
Yeah,
she's just insisting that I'm not the funny one.
Fair enough. Please listen to Experience Share. Please buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch. Rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. And finally, you must and absolutely have to join the Baby Nation Facebook group. It's where all the action happens, and everyone there is nice and good, and also very nice and very good and kind and wonderful, just like Skeletor.
Yep. They do really good threads that really boost my ego.
Please continue listening to our show, even though we did a fucking cartoon from the 80s. Finally, all that remains is for me to say that this week we read a novel. It was He-Man and She-Ra Christmas Special. Yes. It's babysitting.
Yes.
Next week, here's what I'll tell you. I'm going to just lay it all out here. I sent Tanner a spreadsheet of 20 possible things we could talk about.
Yep.
Asked him to consider it. He didn't. So we don't know what
because of work.
Because he's busy. So we don't know what's going to be next, unfortunately, but it's going to be something
ride.
It's going to be a ride. It's going to be a babysitting book. And we'll post it possibly in the Baby Nation Facebook group. That's another reason to join it. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners of your bedroom, drown on your dolls, call your senator and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaney's, remember the Trip Man, take your dream horse through that maze. This is the way, berries to blood. There is no God, and we are his prophets. I may be a shitty boyfriend, but I'm a damn good babysitter. Park the porpoise.
We need one from this, don't we?
I am not nice. I am not That's good. Good.
That's good.
I am not wonderful. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think the boys had just been invented.
And now one of the most visually upsetting scenes of this special. I kind of find it hard to watch because it's so bad. Look at this. There's loads of them. Why?
Come on, Cutter. We'll send the monstroids back to the junkyard.
Sadly, I have a piece of animation artwork from this scene which names pretty much every single man-sheen. So coming up, I'll name them. Here comes Piston. Yes. Crank on the left, Rotor on the right. Sadly, none of the others can be named because they don't actually do anything in this scene, but I'll name them for you. There's Clutch, Whipsaw, Digger, Crank, Driller, and Wrench. So you can tell the naming of these characters was first and foremost in the design and the script itself.
He's so cute!
And the Man-Sheen puppy, this is technically the beginning of the end for me. And coming up, I've think is one of the most offensive lines of the Christmas special, Cutter's dialogue. Ready?
Well, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Thanks for your help.
Cutter has the nerve to say to the most powerful man in the universe and the most powerful woman in the universe, thanks for your help. I hate that line. I think you'll find, Manshings, that you were the one that needed help. He-Man and She-Ra effortlessly trashed the robots. You know, Cutter didn't even do anything. And what did Zipper do? Run, you know, oh.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.